Welcome to the Level Up Podcast with your host, Benjamin Chapin. And in today's episode, we're going to dive into what it means to be content in life when we only have a small piece of the puzzle and not that full picture that God has. If you're new to us, I want to personally welcome you to the Level Up Podcast, a serious and yet fun place where we talk about being a Christian. We strive to teach ourselves and others how to be a victor instead of a victim, a winner at walking with Christ, and how to live by the truth of God found in His Word. To learn more about this ministry and others, please check out BenjaminChapin.com for more information. Now it's time to level up. Today's episode is brought to you by Where Faith Grows, an inspirational fiction story about how one man was able to overcome the impossible odds put against him by putting his faith and trust in God alone. Where Faith Grows is available on Amazon in ebook and paperback with audiobook on its way. Okay, today I have with me my wonderful bride, Crystal Chapin.
Hello.
And we're discussing what it means to be content with the small piece of the puzzle we have. And this is more specifically when we're going through a difficult time and we can't really see the full picture that we know God has. Sometimes we can look around at our life and just be thinking, what the crap is going on? Where is God at right now? What is happening to me? And my wife and I share an experience where this was never more true. Babe, do you want to talk about that?
Sure. So I think the biggest thing that came out of about 8 years ago, we got our nephews and we took them in an effort to help my sister. And it was tough. We had trouble with disciplining them and figuring how to just help them be little productive tiny human beings, and it caused a lot of problems in our family. And when we were going through it, it was just hard just trying to, like, we had a daughter, but we were never did we ever have to Google what we should do in this situation. How do we deal with this type of behaviors? And even though it was really hard and it sucked the entire time we threw, I mean, it was a blessing because it did bring us closer to God, but now we are able to be able to look back and say, so I see what you were doing there. I see what you were doing.
I remember specifically, we were having a hard time at home taking care of the kids and stuff, and we were looking for any kind of break. And what happened to our church attendance during that time?
Yeah, because it wasn't like we didn't go to church. We did, but I mean, like any Christian, you get lazy in your walk sometimes, and it's just easier to stay home on Sunday morning. And so we did that a lot. But with the boys, at church, there's basically 1 to 2 hours of free babysitting. And right. So we ended up going to every single service available. And I mean, consequently, that obviously brought us closer to God because we had more time in church.
Yeah, and what a beautiful thing. We went to church extra times each week to get a break from our boys, but God was working through that, bringing us closer to Him.
And it just came to me now that it's ironic that we were trying to get a break, but we were finding that break and rest in God. As we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and I think that's such an encouragement, because sometimes we're worried that our own shortcomings and our own mistakes, like God can't use us or work with us. But the reality is, all throughout Scripture, we see God working with people where they're at, right? Like when you look at Abraham, and he was looking at Sodom and Gomorrah with God, and, you know, the three visitors, three visitors, and he was saying, hey, God, please don't destroy him unless if there's more than 40. And then he goes down a list over and over again. And God knew there was nobody righteous in that city, but he sat there and had dialogue, had conversation, because that relationship was important. And God, he's always doing a work. And that brings us to the scripture I want to talk about today. I want to focus in on Genesis 37 through 50 tells us the story of Joseph. And if you're not familiar with the story of Joseph, he is he's super loved by his dad, Jacob, almost to the point of favoritism. And I think that is a strong theme in the story. But anyways, Joseph is sold into slavery and goes down to Egypt. He's a slave in Potiphar's house. And through a whole bunch of difficulties, he ends up essentially becoming second in charge of Egypt. Meanwhile, his dad, Jacob, also known as Israel, is thinking that Joseph is dead this whole time, and there's a famine in the land. And if you go through this, you'll read a wonderful story where there's a whole bunch of difficulty and God is working at the exact same time that difficulty is going on. Babe, do you want to read Genesis 42 verses 36 through 38? This gives us a glimpse into what's going on with Jacob.
Sure. And Jacob, their father, said to them, "You have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And you want to take Benjamin. All these things are against me." Then Reuben spoke to his father, saying, "Kill my two sons. If I do not bring him back to you, put him in my hands, and I will bring him back to you." But he said, "My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If any calamity should befall him along the way in which you go, then you would bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave."
Okay, so this is a great example of Jacob not having the full picture. He did not understand at the time that Joseph wasn't dead, Simeon wasn't dead, Benjamin wasn't going to die. He only had his viewpoint, and he was starting to stress, and he was being focused on the problem instead of being focused on God. And a lot of times in this story, Jacob, whenever he's acting out in the flesh, the narration calls him Jacob. And when he's focused on God, he goes by Israel. And it's a neat picture of somebody who doesn't have the puzzle piece. And as you read through, you get that special bird's eye view saying, hey man, why don't you relax? God's got it going on. He's working it out. And it ends up, even though all those bad things happen, God was working through it.
Yeah, I like the parts where it says that Jacob like just hurried out of the room so he could cry, because he was trying to not give away the fact that he
Joseph.
Yeah, Joseph. And he was trying to not give away the fact that he knew who they were and what he was doing, and they didn't. And I think just to tie it back to our story, when we were going through it, it was hard, and we're like, this is never going to end. Our family is destroyed and nothing is ever going to change. And was this even the right thing to do? And it's, I mean, we've talked about it several times with even my parents, and how it's such a beautiful thing that we have a picture to look back to and be like, God was there and God worked it out, even though we thought that it looked hopeless and we didn't have the full picture.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note here, when we're going through hard times, God can use those hard times to grow us, to shape us, to help us understand him more. But at the same time, we have an enemy, the devil, that also has a game plan for our life. And if we're not careful, he's going to use those difficulties to take our eyes and our focus off of Jesus Christ.
Well, and it could have gone the opposite way in our situation, because we could have not allowed for God to work in that situation and rejected the healing of our family and let the bitterness of the events that had taken place dictate how we went on the rest of our lives, but where we were all open to the forgiveness of God and the healing of our family, it changed everything.
Absolutely. And in the world today, with all the different things going on, what are some difficulties that we've seen come across, not only in the world, but that happens on the inside of the church, where it's distracting people off of God? We have COVID, we have politics, and people get wrapped up thinking that a certain candidate is gonna save them. But the reality is, we only have one Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. We have one nation. I love America, but we're first citizens of the kingdom, of God's kingdom. And we have to remember that. And going back to Jacob and his difficulty, we have to be able to learn to rely on God through those hard times, because in the background, God is always working, just like in our story, just like with Jacob, and just like you Christians out there that are listening. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. Instead of asking God, why is this happening to me? Where are you? We have to start to ask ourselves, what can you teach me about you right now, God?
Well, I think it's cool for us to be able to look back, and we didn't discuss about how personal we were going to be on this, but we're not able to have children, and to be able to look back now and realize that if we had been able to have children, we probably would have had 3 or 4 more kids by the time that the boys came into the picture, and we wouldn't have been able to take them on. And to be able to see that devastation in our life turn into being able to help these boys is crazy.
Yeah, because that's another difficulty. When we found out we couldn't have children on our own, that was devastating. As a man, not to be able to produce offspring, it was like, what is going on, God? I remember those prayers by myself, crying, thinking, God, having a family is all I've ever wanted, and like, how can this be, right? And we have to remember that those difficulties are going to bring us closer to Him. No matter how difficult, how impossible it seems, we have to remember that we serve a loving God that cares about us. So let's switch topics for a moment. And we just got done with June, which was Pride Month. And that whole situation, it seems like it's getting ramped up, and it's more and more in our face as Christians. And what do you think, babe, about how the world is getting darker and they're trying to get us to change more and more? What can we do as Christians to fight the darkness without, I don't know how to phrase that.
Well, I think the only way we can combat it is to just stand for the truth. And I think, and I mean, I just had a discussion with someone this about a couple of weeks ago, and they think that because we believe what the Bible says, that we hate them, or we hate anyone who does the sins of the Bible, and it's not true. And I think we just have to be able to show them that. And we might not have the opportunity to do that, but whenever we have the opportunity to do so, to be able to show them that we believe what the Bible says is true, but it's not going to change how we treat people, because we're first and foremost called to love God and love others. And yes, we believe that what they're doing is against what God says and His plan for the world, but
But so are the people that are stealing,
right?
The drunks, fornication, yeah, sex outside of marriage. It's not.
It's just sin.
It's sin because we believe the Bible. We believe that God designed sex for a man and woman inside covenant marriage.
For the purpose of reproducing.
Yes. And even for pleasure.
Yeah.
But, and it's like if you get instructions on how to build something and you feel different about those instructions, it doesn't change the instructions. It doesn't change this is how it works. And that's our belief, is that God designed it to be a certain way, and we being the creation of God have to fall into that if we want the blessings and want God to be pleased with us.
Well, that's such a great illustration, because if you don't follow the instructions and you build it however you want to, it's not going to be a structure that is not going to turn out the way that it should have.
Yeah, it's not going to function the way it was designed to be functional. And the Bible is essentially instructions on how to live the life that God has blessed you with. And we have to be able to, as Christians, submit to the authority of God and His Word and what it says. Because when we start picking and choosing what parts of Scripture we want to agree with, we're committing the ultimate sin that Lucifer did when he was an angel. He took the throne of God. And when we go against God's Word, when we set ourselves up as, oh, I'm not going to do that part, I don't believe in that part, we're essentially saying in that situation, we are God. And we think better than God.
Well, and I think we can tie that into the whole, we don't have the whole picture. Because when you are in a moment and you think that you know how to do it better, i.e., I'm going to do this sin because it's going to work out, and I think this is how I feel, that's how we do things now, right? And you don't see how that, you changing that piece of the puzzle, is going to change the whole puzzle.
Right. Okay, brothers and sisters, this has been the first episode of Level Up, and I hope it's been enjoyable. Once again, let me remind you to check out more episodes and more about the ministries that we're a part of by visiting BenjaminChapin.com. Thanks.